And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out, gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man is the Son of God. 37, all right. So, the Lord Jesus, where is the Lord Jesus at verse 37?
On the cross.
On the cross. On the cross. Just a lot of us, when you want to talk, raise your hand so we call on you one at a time so we know who's ready to go and we can take our turns. He cried out with a loud voice. What does this last expression mean? What does this last expression this person mean? Yeah, Barbara?
Actually, it was a physical impossibility with the type of what crucifixion did to you. You couldn't breathe. That he called out with a loud voice was absolutely nothing more than miraculous.
Mm-hmm. And what does the last expression mean? Gave up the ghost.
He died.
Raise your hands. He died. He gave up. Is that possible? Is that what happens today? Anna, Emery.
He had the power to take his own life, mm-hmm. like he gave it up himself.
That's right. But normally, God tells us, must have suicide, which is certainly not Christian anyway, but we normally wait till we die. We just wait and die. But he took his own life. Remember, it says in the other parts of Scripture, my life no man taketh from me. I have power to take it from me, to lay it down, and take it again. So I had the power to take it again. When does the taking again take place?
After he risen.
After resurrection. After resurrection. Yes, Barbara. Okay, so that's an important thing. As perfect God, perfect man, he had the ability to do this, and he gave up the ghost. In other words, he took his own life. I remember we said this morning about the curse of being on the cross overnight. They had to take on their body beforehand. So when they remember they came, we said this morning, came and broke the legs of the thief on the right, thief on the left. They killed them. They died. Then they took them off. But when they came to Jesus, did they have to kill him?
No.
You know, because he already taken off his... Yes.
He already
gave up his life and dismissed his own spirit. So none of us have the power to do that. We can't just say, all right, I want to die. It's not our power, see. But being perfect God, perfect man, he could do that. Then in verse 38, what happened after he died? Yes, Barbara.
The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and it's significant that it was from top to bottom because this thing was 18 inches thick and 60 feet tall, mm-hmm. and it took 40 yoke of oxen. In order to be hung in the first place, it took 40 yoke of oxen mm-hmm. to try around the perimeter to try to pull it apart. So this was a miracle, too.
So what was the temple? Where was the veil in the temple? Where was this veil? Yes, sir.
At the window?
No.
In the temple.
But where in the temple?
Between the Holy
okay.
of Holies.
Yes, Vaughn.
Between the Holy and the Holy of Holies.
The Holy Place and the Holy of Holies. And who could go in? Yes.
Is that the altar?
No, that's in the Holy of Holies. In other words, how many compartments were there in the temple? That's
two. The Holy of Holies.
Holy of Holies and the Holy Place and the Holy of Holies. What was between those two places?
You don't count
the curtain, the heavy curtain.
Pardon? You don't count the courtyard.
No, no, I'm talking about the actual temple. The place. Yes, Antoinette?
I was going to say it's the place where the high priest could be.
How often?
Else.
How often?
Yes.
Yes. Sue.
Once a year.
Once a year.
On the day
that's
of
right.
The
only once, the Day of Atonement. All right, now, Fawn, you had a question?
No, I'm scratching my head.
Oh, okay. I see the hat, yes.
The Day of Atonement, is that the day they're supposed to forgive their sins or something?
Well, that's when the offer was made in the Old Testament for sins of Israel. That's right. That's the sins of Israel. When the veil was rent, what did that signify?
Rent?
Yes.
It's torn.
So, and what did that signify? Yes, Bar, Tammy.
That the way of the holies was now open.
Now open. Before, one of the high priests once a year could go in. How many times did he go in that
veil? Once.
Just once? Now be careful. How many times did he enter? Only once? After that.
Well, once for himself.
That's right.
And then once for people.
That's right. How many times does that mean?
Twice.
Okay. Just wanted to clear things up. All right. So, as Tammy said, that gave the idea that no longer just the high priest once a year could go into the holy place of God and the presence of God, but Every born-again Christian, saved, genuine Christian can go into his presence anytime, any place, anyway. What about those that are not genuine Christians?
No.
Can they do that?
No.
No. They're shut out. Nobody that's lost and unsaved can go in the very presence of God. They're shut out of his presence. They can't go into a prayer. He doesn't listen to it. Are there many pastors and preachers that are lost and bound for hell?
Yes.
Yes. They pray all the time, but does God hear their prayers?
No.
He may hear them, but they can't go into the very presence. Yeah, Anna.
The prayer of Christ as Savior, then the Lord will hear that.
Yes, that's the only prayer he can hear. It's the one that says, what must I do to be saved? And I want to trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Then they can hear, but otherwise, silence. All right. So the temple, the veil was rent, as Barbara said, top to bottom. Now that isn't the way normally it's rented. Because people are on the ground. You want to hit something. Usually you start from where you are, but it's very, very serious. But it was rent in God to rent it. And yes, Randy.
Well, in Ephesians where it talks about the middle wall of partition between us,
mm-hmm.
Jew and Gentile, is this part of that?
Well, maybe so. Middle bar of partition was rent also. That could be. It's certainly a partition. All right. Yes, Pastor Dan? Oh, just waiting for. Okay. So verse 38, we finished that. And then verse 39, who gets into the picture here?
What's the question?
Who gets into the picture here in verse 39? The barber?
The Roman centurion.
What is a centurion? What is his office? What is his duty? What does he take care of? Nobody knows but Barber? All right, Randy.
He's in charge over 100.
100? 100 who?
Soldiers.
100 Roman soldiers. That's
military
right.
Military officer.
That's right. He's a military officer. And where was the centurion? Where was this centurion?
He was the guard.
But where was he now in this verse? Tammy?
He was standing over against
him. Okay, he was very close. Who's the hymn referred to?
Lord Jesus Christ.
He was very close to the cross on which the Lord Jesus was being crucified. And what did he see and hear? Anthony?
He saw Jesus cry out and saw him leave the life.
Okay.
He gave up.
He was a witness and saw that he cried out. Now, as I think Barbara said, when you're on the cross and you have problems, you don't necessarily have a strong voice, maybe a weak voice or something, but he saw it, and what's the second thing? He saw that he cried out. What's the second thing?
He saw that he died,
gave up the ghost. And then, what was the witness of this centurion? What did he say when he saw and heard these things? Anybody know? Only Barbara? Okay, Barbara. Hands up. Barbara, okay.
Surely this man was the Son of God, and it's this man, not the other two, but
right?
This particular man, and he wasn't just the Son of God, he was the particular specified Son of God.
The only Son of God. So that's a testimony that this centurion, who had seen, I'm sure, many crucifixions, when he saw the Lord cry out and give up his life, truly, that means honestly and really, this man was the Son of God. What a testimony. Did the other people in Israel? Yes, Tammy.
Well, this was after everyone had mocked him and reviled him, and then they had put the sign over, the King of the Jews,
mm-hmm.
and then they said, don't write that. And,
yeah.
And then they had said, come off the cross.
Yes.
And basically, he accused him of, all sorts of evil.
Yes.
And, and now this testimony. So it's remarkable.
It's remarkable. Yes, sir.
They said he saved others, but he couldn't save himself.
That's right. He was able to, but it was not God's will. Yeah, Barbara?
It was a Roman centurion. It was a Gentile who recognized who he was.
That's right. Good testimony. Barbara, Anna?
Well, in the fact that he was saving others, because he was saving others, he couldn't save himself. Because he was saving others instead of
That's
himself.
That's right. He wasn't thinking of himself. He came to do the Father's will, and this was the Father's will that he die across the Calvary. And another thing?
Yeah, well, Ephesians 2:14, that's where the middle wall of partition is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be a reference to,
you had the court of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would only come in so far, but then the Jews could go in further.
Yeah,
would
maybe.
That be a reference to that?
That could be a reference to that, yes. They could openly come and be saved as well if they trust in Christ, the Savior. Truly, the Son of God. Let's read 40, 41, and 42 together. There were also women looking on afar off, among them Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, the left, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now, when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. All right, verse number, is it 40? Yeah, 40. How many women are mentioned in this verse? Yes, that's it.
Two.
Two? Who were they?
Mary Magdalene and
right.
Mary, the mother of James and
Joseph. And Joseph's son. So there are two
and
women.
Salome.
Yes.
Salome. Do you say Salome or Salome?
Salome.
Well, usually Salome, I guess.
Salome. That's why you call her.
But there's, so there's three women. The two Marys and her.
Right.
Mary, the mother of James, Celeste.
Mary, the mother of.
But I thought Mary and of means the mother of the other one, Joseph's
mother. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of
James
and Salome. With the comma would make it different, would make it a third person.
The mother of James.
Mother of James, Celeste, and of Joseph, and so they got three children.
No, no, but it doesn't say of Salome. It says of James and of Joseph, but not. If
Salome, Salome would have been her own person.
Mary, the mother of James, Celeste, and of Joseph, and Salome.
And it doesn't say and of.
My Bible says and of.
What is that?
And of Salome?
And of Joseph and Salome.
Yes, and.
Okay, so if you look at James, the mother of James, the last, and of Joseph, so it would seem that it would be of Salome to follow the pattern, but it doesn't say that.
The comma and would make it a third person. Grammatically, there's three women there.
Yeah.
Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother. Hey, it doesn't say and Joseph and Salome. See, you've got to have and, but it says of. Now you see the of is referred to in verse 40. Mary the mother of James the less, the Mary of James, and of Joseph. See, you got the and, of, and of, see?
No.
But this and also other many women as well later on in the next verse.
Yeah.
And many other women which came up with him in Jerusalem.
You can hold your own view if you wish. I think there are three. It should be one, we think it should be four because there's two other ones. But I'll take the stand of just Mary, Magdalene,
Mary,
the mother of James,
and Salome.
And of Joseph.
And right, we understand that.
Right.
Salome makes the third woman.
Right.
Okay, maybe Salome and of, maybe and, or could be, mother of James the Less and of James and Solomon.
But there's no of there.
No, but just adding to the thing.
Anyhow,
forget it. You want to take any of you? I just asked a simple question. I got a whole lot of answers. Go ahead. You can listen any way you want to look at it. Go ahead. You take your book one, I take mine. And in verse 41. Now, who is the one that's from Galilee? In verse 41. Yeah, Annie, you got something else?
Mark 16, verse 1. Let's compare here. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So see, in the previous, in Mark 15:40, it says Mary the mother of James the less and of Joseph. And comma and Salome. So, but then here it just says Mary the mother of James. It doesn't say anything.
What verse you refer to, Anna?
Mark 16:1.
Okay.
Mary the mother of James. It doesn't say anything about.
Excellent. Yes.
So
okay.
So we got three.
You're right. There are three. Okay. We got that settled. We go on to the next verse. Verse 41. They were. Where did they come from? Yes.
What about his mother Mary? Jesus.
Yeah. We counted her. Mary and the other Mary?
No.
And Salome.
No, she wasn't listed here. We know from other passages that she was there, but she wasn't listed.
Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Les. Okay, that's not the other Mary. You're right. So there's Magdalene,
James
Mary,
Les, the brother
and
of Jesus.
Salome. So there's
that's
three.
The half-brother of Jesus?
Yeah.
Is that the half-brother of the Lord Jesus?
Apparently so.
James
the Less, it could be.
And Joseph.
They got so many James in the Bible. I think there's three or four James, different ones. So whatever this might be.
So it could be Mary. It could be his mother.
If Mary's the mother of James, and that would be Jesus' mother, too.
James the Less.
Well, who's James the Greater?
Well, anyhow, we find all the
James, John's brother.
What are the three women that are there?
Mary,
and Magdalene.
That's it. So long. You got three. Let's go on to 41 if we can. Who, when he was in what country did they follow him? And where is Galilee?
Israel.
In Israel? It's the wrong map to show this. It's a place very close. There would be a lot of songs called the Savior of Galilee and so on, different things. It's a place where Galilee River is close by. All right, so they were following him. They were in Galilee. What does it mean to follow him?
Can we see them at the Galilee?
No, we don't have this map yet. It's down there, but you can't can't see it, but it's a long distance.
It's right
there.
Well, you can turn that.
Yeah, on the yellow.
It's the yellow.
Here's the Sea of Galilee, so that's all the Sea of Galilee. So it's in this general area right here.
Northwest, yeah. Northwest. West and northwest.
Okay. So there for Galilee, and the Lord did a lot of miracles in the Galilee. And then in verse 41, what does it mean to follow? Oh, take care of it. Anna, go ahead. Anna?
So in Matthew 13:55, we have, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible.
Could be the Lord's half-brother. Yeah. So let me ask this question again. Says these women from Galilee followed him. What does that mean?
He went the same place where Jesus was.
Well, that's possible. What else could it mean? Where are the hands? Nobody but one hand? Cast.
If they believed that they were with him because they were believers.
All right. Tammy?
They were disciples.
All right. What does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus today?
Obey him.
Obey him? And be with him, pray to him, accept him as your Savior and Redeemer. In other words, just following this, Randy.
Well, it sounds like of course, ministering besides that, mm-hmm. adhering to his teaching and trusting in.
Mm-hmm. Who's the hymn referred to in verse 41?
Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And followed him and ministered unto him. What does it mean to minister to somebody? Only one hand?
On
one hand, Anthony?
Took care of him.
All right. What else? Barbara?
They served his needs.
All right.
Some of these women were very wealthy, so I'm sure mm-hmm. they supplied money for
probably
whatever
money,
they needed.
Probably food, different things that he needed. Ministered unto him. And many other women. Doesn't say totally. Where did they come from, these other women? Pastor Dan?
Jerusalem.
They came from Jerusalem with him, under Jerusalem. And so there were many helpers. Now, does this mean there are women preachers?
No.
The Bible, so what does the Bible say about women preachers? Yeah, Tammy?
It can't
be.
Ministers are servant. That's right. Diaconal. Yes. But what does the Bible say about women preachers?
Can't be.
They said, don't suffer a woman to keep the authority over the man and the husband of one wife. That's right. That takes care of that, doesn't it? Husband of one wife.
At the inauguration, we had one.
Oh yes.
Pastor, that was a woman.
Right, exactly.
I don't remember the name now, but it was Paula White.
Paula White. Yeah, Paula White. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and the different churches have different views on that, of course, but. A sovereign had a woman, a teacher, a super authority over the man would be in subjection, and also qualifications, husband of one wife, and so on. So that rules them out. Of course, now with the intermarriages with the homosexuals, the lesbian, maybe they consider one of their wife, but that's not what the Bible says. Wife is Brunei, it means a woman, and Man means on air means a man, male, male or female. Okay. So 41, let a woman helping him, helping the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he, should he have helpers today?
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ needs helpers to be faithful to him and to serve him in any way that he sees fit and answers to prayer. And then in verse 42, what was the time of day at this time?
Evening.
What does the evening mean?
Evening.
What would that time?
We talked about that in one of our classes.
Yes.
Dusk,
yes,
when the sun goes down.
All right. According to the Jewish time, when does the day begin?
Six.
Six what?
A.M.
Day begins at 6
p.m.
It starts at 6 p.m.?
6 p.m. the day before.
They have to be home before sundown.
Right,
the Jewish people, yeah.
Well, if that's the case, that's their custom, but the Jewish day began at 6 p.m. the preceding day. When did the Jewish day end?
In the morning.
The next day.
The evening and the morning were the first day.
But if it began 6 p.m., when did the next day end?
At 5:59
p.m. When did the next day begin?
5:59.
The next day begins
at 6 o'clock p.m.
The next day.
But the other day ends at
5:59.
5:59, that's right.
And
59
seconds.
See, how many hours are there in a day?
24.
So if you had 6 p.m. the one day, 6 p.m. the next day.
Correct.
That's day for day. That's what it is. All right, so even...
When is evening then?
Okay, let's see. It's evening, it's just before the next day begins. Is that right? All right, that's a good question. What do you think, Anthony? Randy, you think any idea of that?
No.
What is the evening?
It has to be late afternoon or something. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Yes,
sir.
Right before sundown?
It's usually what we think here, but...
Sundown.
When does, in a Jewish day, 6 p.m., when would it be sundown? Would it be 6 p.m. the next day, which would be our...
It depends on the time of year, too.
Wait, we've got the answer coming.
It does. It depends.
Hello? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Who is this?
What do they call them?
Who is
this?
Dale Boomer from Texas.
Yes.
Go ahead, Dale. Go ahead.
Good. I just want to say we're really enjoying the Bible study. I want to say hello to everybody. And it sure is good to see Barbara there.
Good to see Barbara. Amen. Let's wave to Dale.
Hello, Texas.
Wave to her.
Hello, Texas.
Okay, good to see you. All right. I thought I was going to have the answer for that. All right. So, now, let's take our day. When does our day begin? Now, in the United States of America, when does our day begin?
Our day begins
at 12 a.m.
Okay. All right. Sunrise.
12
o'clock. Anthony?
Our day begins 12 o'clock midnight, 1 minute after midnight.
Okay, and
that's what our day
is. It's called 12 a.m., same answer.
12 a.m., yes, same answer. Now, if our day were this, when would our evening begin? In our days, when would it be?
12 p.m.
Normally
6
o'clock.
Could be
p.m.
Could be evening. Yes, Barbara?
That's right.
When our evening begins?
Yes.
Usually, it's 6-ish.
6 p.m.?
In the evening. It's 6 p.m.
Our evening. I would think that's probably right. You have to know when the evening begins, because when you speak in Spanish, you say hello, and Spanish got to see whether, buenos dias, and how long does the day begin? Buenas noches, when does that begin? See, you know, you got to know exactly what they say. And I greet all the Spanish people, like I always ask them to be sure. All right. So our day, our evening, would be 6 p.m. and so on. Now, if our day is that way, and the Jewish day begins at 6
p.m.,
the preceding day goes 6 p.m. the other day, but it's not dark necessarily, when do you think their evening would be? Hey, Barbara?
The Jewish day begins when the first three, the evening, let me start. The Jewish day begins when the first three evening stars come out. When they can validate the first three stars, it is then the beginning of that day for the next 24 hours. And when they disappear, it's gone. It's the next day.
Let me ask you a question on that, then we'll get Randy. If you're waiting for stars, and it's 6 p.m. over there in Jerusalem, did the stars come out federally?
They're pretty much like we are.
Well,
but Venus comes out pretty early.
Okay. Tammy, I'll go Randy next, and then Tammy, and Dan, and Anthony.
Venus comes out
just by the way it's stated, it says then the evening and the morning were the first day. Could evening be first and then the morning?
It could be.
In other words,
in Genesis chapter 1.
Right, so the evening is the evening is from the 6 p.m. to what, midnight, midnight to the next change would be morning?
The way that's evening and morning. Yes.
Evening and morning.
That's possible. That's possible. That's, what did I say? Pastor Dan?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
No, go ahead. I don't need to.
You do.
No, I don't need to.
After the argument is finished, who's next? Good.
So,
yeah, Pastor Dan.
I would say sometimes you do have stars out at 6 o'clock depending on the time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the answer you were looking for is the evening, well, Jewish evening begins at 6.
I'm not looking for anything. I just want to know. Yeah. Go ahead, Anthony.
You can't see stars until it's dark.
Exactly. Barbara?
You cannot eat the Passover. It is the evening of the preparation. You cannot eat the Passover meal until it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be dark before they can eat. The sacrifices had already been made at 3 o'clock, but this was the actual meal that they celebrated before they came out of Egypt. This is the evening of the preparation.
Yvonne, and then Al, Bill.
The other day, I saw the moon out in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moon.
What did he say?
That's the moon. But you can see stars too in daylight.
Yeah, Bill?
But I didn't know why the moon was out in the morning.
In the summer months, it's not dark until 9 o'clock. 9 p.m.
Yeah, you're right.
Depends on your Eastern Standard Time.
So we're sort of hung up on this one, aren't we? Time of day. Anyhow, whatever it even means, and then you've said different people have different views on it. Then, yeah, it's when the even was come. That's 40, verse 42. What was the schedule? What was on that particular time of day in verse 42? What is preparation for what?
For this time.
Wait a minute. Yes, Barbara?
It was the preparation for the Sabbath, the Passover meal.
Passover. So it's a holy day. Remember it says earlier, this was a high day. Now, a lot of churches don't believe that. Believe that when it says Sabbath, the only weekly Sabbath.
No.
But that's not right. See, it's a holy high day, which is one of the feasts of Jehovah. And that's why the Lord Jesus, if we take it the right way, he was buried and the Sabbath was coming. It's not Friday, and then he raised on Saturday. But it's a high day, so he's there 3 days and three nights, as it says very clearly in Matthew, as the days of Jonah, 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly. So the Son of Man should be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, 72 hours. Yes, Tank.
So did the Lord share the Passover with his disciples on the Passover or the day before?
On the Passover.
Well, it was a preparation the day before the Sabbath.
The Passover here before the Sabbath.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just trying to figure out if this Barbara said this was the Passover, the Sabbath.
The day before, yes.
If it was, then they couldn't have had the Last Supper with the 12 on the Passover.
Well, apparently Mark doesn't go into a lot of detail there, does he? Yes, John? Pardon?
The Passover was in two stages. The actual sacrifice of the Passover lamb at 3, and then the Paschal meal. And this is what they were getting ready for, was the meal. The sacrifice for the sin had already been done. That was taken care of and over with. But you could not eat the Passover meal until you had offered the sacrifice. That was the whole thing about them not going into Pilate's hall and getting defiled, because then they couldn't eat the Passover meal because they couldn't offer their sacrifices.
Well, anyhow, verse 42, the time of this was the preparation, the day before the Sabbath, before the Passover was finished. It doesn't think about the Passover meal. Anna?
Anna was looking at
something. Oh, Anna, go ahead. I didn't see your hand. Go ahead, Anna.
As far as the
time. I see your head, but no hand.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, okay.
When they ate the Passover, it seems very clear in Mark chapter 14 that they ate the Passover. And this was the day before.
Day before.
Well,
before the Passover.
Now I'm getting myself very confused. It's just never.
What I'm saying is, this particular section of Mark doesn't say anything about this. Simply says the preparation the day before the Sabbath, and that means a holy day. Pastor Dan?
The apostle, Moses Christ and his apostles have observed it early.
No.
You know, it's not.
No.
It's,
he had to fulfill the law.
Well, anything's possible, Pastor Dan, but
As far as there's two things, there's two aspects. There are the two aspects of the Passover, aren't there?
Well,
the Day of Atonement and the year of the Passover. I mean, you have the
unleavened bread. And then
you have the
first fruit.
Passover.
First fruit.
So then the day before the Passover is the unleavened bread, is it not?
15th day is unleavened bread, yes. Okay?
In Leviticus 23, it says on the 14th day of the first month, even as the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord, and 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Seems as though, it says in the first day, so this seems like the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread shall have a holy convocation. So that would be like, that would be a Sabbath, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then the last day, I believe, also was a holy convocation. So it would seem like the Sabbath was on the... It may not have been on the Passover, but it's on the first day of unleavened bread, which was the next day after that.
Hannah? I saw your hand.
Yeah, well, I can't.
You retracted your hand? Hand retracted, okay. Now, all I'm saying is, this particular verse and section of Mark does not say anything about the actual feast and so forth. That's taken up elsewhere, but it does say the time of this was even. We don't know what even meant. We have different views on that. It was the preparation the day before the Sabbath. Whatever Sabbath it was, whatever holy day, the day before. Now, we read 40, 41, 42. Let's read 43, 44, and 45 together. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled that he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had already been dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Right in verse 43. What sort of man was this Joseph?
He was rich.
Yes. Barbara?
He was the third richest man in Jerusalem.
Well, at least here in the text, what does it say? Yes, Anthony.
Honorable counselor.
What does honorable mean?
Very good.
Respected and honorable, had a station. And what does it mean to be a counselor? What is a counselor? Nobody but Anthony's got his hand up? Yes, Anthony.
An attorney?
He's like an attorney. He gives counsel. Somebody wants advice. He counsels them, tells them what to do, what not to do.
Do counselors always give good advice?
No.
Sometimes they give very bad advice?
Yes.
They sure do. Be careful who's your counselor.
Don't take the bad advice.
Tammy.
I believe he was part of the Sanhedrin.
Probably part of the Sanhedrin, that's
there
right.
There was a passage in John.
Yes.
Where it talks about they did not all confess him because they were of the Jews, they were afraid of the Jews.
All right.
Like
who is Joseph waiting for in this verse? Just one hand? Nobody else knows? That's his hand.
The kingdom of God.
What is the kingdom of God in Scripture here in the New Testament?
The kingdom of what? The
kingdom of God. Yes, answer that.
It's heaven.
Well, that could be. But on earth in the book of Matthew, what is it?
The body of Christ.
Well, no.
What are you asking?
What is the kingdom of God in the New Testament Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke? Pastor Dan.
1,000-year millennium.
Kingdom of God. That's one thing. That's
you know, I mean, for which I mean, sometimes...
Well, sometimes kingdom of God, sometimes kingdom of heaven. That's heaven. It's like in John chapter 3, except a man be born again cannot enter the kingdom of God. So sometimes, like in the book of John, it's a salvation state. That's true. But in Matthew, you have the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, different kingdoms. And what is the general interpretation of the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God? What's the general interpretation of those two?
The kingdom of heaven is the millennial reign.
The kingdom of heaven usually is written millennial reign, where the real heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, is reigning and ruling. Where is he going to reign and rule? Where is that from?
Jerusalem.
That's right. And that rule is called generally by a lot of commentators, kingdom of heaven. And what is the idea they have for the kingdom of God? Supposed to be saved, like in John chapter 3, talking to Nicodemus, that had to be saved. Such a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, anyway, he was waiting for the kingdom. So, what does that indicate if he's waiting for the kingdom of God? Whatever meaning you take, what does that mean of him?
He was a spiritual man.
What's the question?
He's a spiritual man. What does that mean, waiting for the kingdom of God? Now, my wife said he was a spiritual man. Right, Barbara?
The salvation of Israel.
Well, what does that mean concerning
this? Well, he was waiting for the Messiah.
Waiting for the Messiah. What does that mean as far as his faith and belief, huh?
He was waiting to go to heaven, I guess.
What? Yes, after that?
He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.
He certainly must have been. In other words, he was a faithful man, wasn't an apostate, wasn't a doubter, an unbeliever. He's waiting for something that God had planned. Whatever his idea was, again, God, he was waiting for it, and he believed in it, so he was a faithful man, one of some kind. So what did he do in verse 43. What does Joseph do here? Yes, Antoinette?
He went to talk to Pilate.
Okay, who was Pilate?
He was the chief.
Hands? Go ahead, Barbara.
He was the governor?
The governor. And
the Roman governor?
Roman government, that's right. And what was his way of entrance to Pilate? What was his way of entrance to Pilate, yes, Antoinette?
Boldly.
What does that mean?
Determined.
Yeah, Barbara?
It took courage.
In other words, he was not a shy person. He was boldly entered. And what was his request of Pilate, the governor of Rome? Matt Bob?
I think Joseph Arimathea was used to being with big wigs.
Probably.
So he went in he wasn't afraid.
All right. And what did I ask in the last one? What did he want of Pilate?
The body of Christ.
What does crave mean?
He really wanted him.
Yeah.
What does crave mean?
He was anxious, wanted him. Desperately wanted.
Earnestly requested, desperately wanted, okay. The body. Oh, Pastor Dan?
I'd forgotten what I was going to say.
Oh, sometimes we have senior moments. All right.
No, I knew what I was going to say, but then I never mind.
Okay. Oh, all right. All right. Now, why did Joseph today crave the body of Christ? Why did he crave the body? Why did he crave it? Nobody knows?
What's the question?
Why do you think he craved the body of Christ? Antoinette had a hand up.
Because he wanted to be able to take care of it.
All right. Cass?
Well, same thing. He loved Jesus. And he wanted to make sure, that he was buried right. Properly.
Did he go to the right person to ask the question?
Yeah. Yes.
Who did he go to again?
Pilate,
the Roman governor. And he craved the body of Christ. And then in verse, did we read 44? Did we read 44?
We
did. Okay.
Yes.
Bill always knows what we read, so he's good at it. And so, what was Pilate's attitude when this Joseph came to him boldly?
He marveled.
What does that mean, to marvel?
I don't know.
Surprised.
Surprised? Yeah.
Wondered.
Wondered? Surprised?
Wonderment.
And what did Pilate wonder?
That Jesus was
coming. Hands? Only one hand?
That Jesus had already died,
because
he only took a couple of days.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't believe that he was dead already.
Yes, that's right. He wondered if you're already dead. What does that imply? I think someone already said it, but Sue, already.
That it had happened.
So that's so quickly. Yeah. That's right. And So what did Pilate, did Pilate originally believe that he was dead already? Did he originally believe?
No.
Why do we know?
Why,
hands up, who's next?
Sorry.
What's the next verse, what's the verse say? Nobody knows if it's Barbara? Hi, Barbara?
Well, he didn't, anticipate him being dead already.
All right. Yes, Sue?
He asked for the centurion to verify
it. All right. So he did doubt it. He wanted to be sure. He wasn't going to do anything that he was sure of what this man requested. Again, who's the centurion? How many men? 100? 100 men under him. And he asked. What did he ask? What question did he ask the centurion?
Is Pilate...
What did he ask? What did the pilot ask?
How long has he been dead?
All right. How long has he been dead? Yeah, Barbara had something?
The centurion was a Roman. Pilate didn't believe Joseph. He had to go get Roman, someone in Roman authority who would confirm what Joseph said.
All right, that's true. Did we read 45? Mm-hmm. Bill, did we read 45? Okay, so in 45, who's the he referred to in verse 45? When he...
Pilate.
When Pilate knew of the centurion, what did he then do? What did Pilate do then?
The body gave the body to Joseph.
All right, he gave the body to Joseph.
Which Joseph?
Joseph of Arimathea.
Okay.
In verse 43. Okay, Ben, we didn't read just 45. Let's read 46 and 47 together. And he brought the fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone into the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. How many women in verse 47?
Two.
We got that straight. Two, okay.
No comment.
I was wrong on the first one. I'm right on this one. Okay, we all agree on this one. Okay, so verse 46. Who is the he referred to here?
Joseph.
Joseph. Joseph. He bought. Must have cost a lot of money. Was it just ordinary cloth? What kind of cloth was it?
And it would have come out of Egypt. Because that's where all the linen came from. And fine linen is, even this day and age, is extremely, extremely expensive.
Very expensive. And what else did Joseph of Arimathea do in verse 46?
He took the body of Jesus. He took him down.
What does that mean, took him down?
Did he take him off the cross?
What does it mean? Well, what is that? Ask me a question. What do you think?
He took him off, he got him down, and then he took the body to the tomb.
Okay. If somebody's taken down, what was he before he was taken down?
He was on the cross.
He was up.
He was up. So, taken down from the cross. That's right. That's really something. You have to take all the nails out, all different things. It would be a horrible situation, but he... Why did that body give up?
Do you think they take the body down before they lower the cross? Do they ever lower the cross
and take the body down? If they lowered the cross flat, horizontal,
and they just
he wouldn't take him down. So it seems like he had to be up and couldn't go down.
He'd have to crawl up there and get him down?
I would think so.
But didn't the Roman, didn't the Roman soldiers took him down?
Well, of course, here it says Joseph took it down.
Mm-hmm. He went up on a ladder to take Jesus.
Well, I don't know how they went up. Yeah, Barbara?
If Pilate had talked to the centurion and had given his permission for Joseph to take the body, the centurion and company would have taken his body down for Joseph to do whatever he wanted.
That makes sense.
But according to verse 45 and 46, Who's the one that bought the fine linen?
Joseph.
And who's the one that took him down?
Joseph.
Okay, so it wasn't the centurion. For this verse, it was Joseph.
It could be figurative.
And what else did Joseph do?
He wrapped him. And then laid him in
the... All right, that's the next thing. But he wrapped him in... What linen was that?
The fine linen
that he had bought. Yeah, huh?
It seems like Joseph would have to have help to get... A body, a dead body.
Maybe he had some help. I don't know. Stanley.
In John chapter 20, verse 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury.
Mm-hmm. So up above, that last verse you read, it says something about they took him out. What does that say? Did Joseph take him out? What's your context there?
Then took they the body of Jesus.
No, but before that, a couple of verses before that, I'm reading.
Okay. All right. Pilate, that he might take away. And there, okay. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus.
That was Joseph. Okay, so they took the body. So in this verse here, so they took him down. So he took him down. Yes, Anna.
So I'm looking, in this passage, Mark, it says in verse 45 of chapter 15, and when he knew it of a centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And then in Matthew 27:58, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like perhaps when it says took him down, maybe because it was on the hill, wasn't it? It was on Golgotha.
Mm-hmm.
The hill, so maybe he took him down the hill and he had to go down towards the sepulchre. They go down to get to the sepulchre, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. But we still have to explain in verse 46 in Mark, and took him down. Who's the hymn referred to?
Jesus Christ,
that's right. And wrapped him. And then, and finally, then what did he do after that? In the sepulchre. What was the sepulchre like?
It was a tomb. Yeah. It was a cave.
Okay, right there, Barbara. Oh, excuse the cast, I forgot.
It was brand new. I don't think anyone ever laid it.
Okay, what kind of tomb was it? Yes, after that?
It was a mausoleum.
Well, what kind of tomb was it, Barbara?
It was all stone.
It was carved out of the rock.
Okay.
What they did was there was a huge room that they laid the body on for a year for it to decay, and then they came in a year later and put the bones in an ossuary.
Mm-hmm. And what else did they do after they hewed out the sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock? And what else did Joseph do? Yes.
Didn't he put spices down for the body? Well, like spices.
It doesn't say that in this verse here, but the cast?
He hewed out the rock or rolled the stone into the door of the sepulcher.
Okay. What was the custom of closing sepulchers in those days?
A round thing that rolled
along. They rolled along.
It had a rut like it was in a track.
Like a track, and there's a sort of a flat stone. It must have been strong, too. Rolled a stone. See, this is all said of Joseph, all these things. So, must have been a strong man as well as a counselor and honorable.
Didn't he have helped Joseph?
Well, it could be, but he was in charge because he says he did it. So he was in charge. Whoever helped him doesn't say, but he engineered it and did it.
When we were in Jerusalem and everything, and when they took us to what their view of the grave was,
mm-hmm.
which was near
Golgotha.
Yeah.
Near Golgotha.
Yeah. And I think Golgotha was across the street and was like a train station or a gasoline
That's
station.
That's right, mm-hmm.
It wasn't on a big hill or anything.
No.
But
Golgotha was. Remember, that's where the bus station was down here.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. We were on top hill. But, There was this like stone bed,
mm-hmm.
that they said the body would lay on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there was room for two or not. I can't remember. One on the other side. Do you remember?
I don't remember. But in this particular place, it doesn't say. But in other gospels, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead bodily, what does it say about the stone?
It's rolled away.
Rolled away. And who? What was the reason for it being rolled away? Anybody have hands? Yes?
So Jesus comes out three days later.
What was the reason it said it was rolled away?
People could get in.
Did he have to have it rolled away to get
out?
No.
Why?
He could go through elements and stuff.
He could go through elements.
That's right.
What is another instance where he went through elements?
Well,
When he entered the upper room.
Upper room, that's right.
And they showed Thomas.
Upper room, that's right. See, who will roll away the stone? The women wondered as they came to the tomb. But the stone was already rolled away. Right, and then in verse 47, how many people went to see where he was laid?
Two.
Two, and who were they?
Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph. Wonder where the men were.
They were afraid. They were hiding.
Possibly.
The disciples were hiding.
They,
what time did you think this was?
Early in the morning.
It says at even. You know, the place when it was even. Straight up. In verse 42. So the men, apparently they were fearing and so on. In fact, at the cross, a little bit later, were there, how many men were there at the cross that were named? Yeah.
John.
John? John, that's right, John, the Apostle John was there. Yes.
All the other 11, well,
what did they do, the 11?
Okay.
Far off.
Peter denied him, what was the other one? I think it was like
Judas.
No. Judas betrayed him. Mm-hmm. Peter denied him, and the other 11 hid.
Right.
The other 9 hid, mm-hmm. And they were all. Can I say it? The 11 were cowards.
All right. And what does it say about they all? What?
Were far off.
No, because of that.
Forsook him.
And what?
Fled.
Yes, Tammy.
Well, all this was prophecy because. The Holy Spirit had not come. If they were saved at that point, the Holy Spirit had not come. The Holy Spirit was not indwelling them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was their natural response.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In the flesh.
So they left. And these two women, what did they do at the tomb?
They had herbs.
What does it say? No, just what, two hands, that's it?
Well, what verse are we on?
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
They brought some herbs and spices to anoint the body.
No, I know, but in verse 47, what did they do again, Barbara?
They watched what was going on.
They watched what was going on. Beheld him where he was laid. They wanted to see exactly the spot.
They looked at him.
Yes. All right, any other questions on chapter 15 before we go to 16? We're going to stop shortly, but let's just read the first three verses of chapter 16 together. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices, they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, whoso rolleth away the stone from the door of the sepulchre. All right, just one question before we'll pick this up Lord willing next week, but just one question on verse number 1. How many women were there?
Three.
I got it. Everybody agrees it's three. But you have any questions on these chapters, either 12, 15, anything? Yes, Lon, or comment?
It looks like verse 47, verse 1, there's a time period between. I wonder if there is.
Between 47?
Yes, 47 and
It could be. And Sabbath, yes. It could be. And for that?
Well, in verse 46 and 46, it says, in a sepulchre. So, was his body in a tomb type thing? Or, because somebody was talking about earlier, his body was laid on something. So, because it says in, I would think he's in something.
He's in the cave on the slab.
Rolled a stone in the sepulchre.
It says they put his body, it says here.
Laid him in a sepulchre.
Laid him in a sepulchre.
Yes, so he's laid in it like that cave type of thing. That's what it was, a rock hewn cave.
What was it like what was it actually? Does anybody know?
Like the mausoleum.
Okay, Carlos,
you carved out a huge room. And off this main room were little rooms. Okay, there was a slab that the bodies were put on until they decomposed, and a year later they would go back with the flesh all gone and just the bones, and put the bones in ossuaries, and the ossuaries would go in the little rooms off the big main room.
Okay, so the Bible doesn't give any, and for that answer to the question, the Bible doesn't give any specific things These are guesses of people.
In, I'm imagining like you're placed in a coffin.
Now you're in the room.
But they meant, okay.
See, for instance, if this were the hewn rock sepulchre, this whole room.
Meaning the whole mausoleum.
Antoinette, if this were the whole room, the whole sepulchre, they just brought him into this room. That's what it means.
Okay.
Put him in this room, okay. In the sepulchre there. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for these verses we've been going over. We thank Thee, Lord, that there were interest at Calvary. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, did not say, no, I don't want to go. He asked the Father, would Thou remove this cup from me? And the Father seemed to indicate, no. He says, I therefore will, not my will, but Thine be done. We thank Thee for His willingness to die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the whole world, not simply some elect people, but the whole world, that by faith in Him, they can be saved and have everlasting life. We thank You for these women, three in one place and two another, different times. These women were interested. They ministered to Him. They took care of Him while He was here on this earth. I'm sure they were very sad to see His death. We're glad that some of them at least saw His resurrection. We're glad for that. We're glad that they were interested. Help us to be interested in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Help us to follow Him closely, like the disciples sometimes did and sometimes didn't. Keep us faithful to our Savior. Bring us back safely on Thursday for Bible study and prayer service. We thank Thee for those that are here. Continue to guide us and use us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.